Okay, so on the line now, excitingly, is Birmingham comedian James Cook. Hello, James.
Hi, James. How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. And you coping all right, considering?
I think so. I'm in quite a lucky position. It's not a huge hardship for me to stay in. Obviously, it's not ideal, but I'm doing all right, I think.
So on the last show, we spoke to Josh Pugh, and he gave us a bit of an inkling as to what it's like for a comedian in these times. But I'm guessing you've had to kind of take a bit of a swerve in terms of your day-to-day.
Well, it's more the evenings that have changed. The big difference in the day is that my children are now around in the week because they can't go to school, and that my wife is at home instead of at work. So
a new co-working experience for everyone.
Yes. The evenings, obviously, I was a road comic gigging in clubs and things at the weekends. I was also I'm also a sort of comedy tutor, for want of a better term, and I was doing that a couple of nights a week as well, running comedy courses, and that had to be knocked on the head as well. So all of a sudden, I'm around in the evenings. I wasn't out every night. It would be four or five nights a week I was out, and now I'm in all the time.
Now, I've read that you've done, I think, over 1,000 gigs in your time as a...
Yeah, it's probably more like 2,000, something like that, 2,000, 3,000 now.
Wow.
I haven't updated that biog for a very long time. Quite amazing.
I'm guessing for you that there's something kind of, you know, not being out in the evening, not working, not kind of getting that sort of buzz or that relationship with an audience. Is that a pang for you? Is that something that you yearn for, or is it something you can kind of think, oh, okay, I've got time to write some more material?
I don't know if I yearn for it. I suppose I do. I miss gigging. Things I don't miss. I don't miss driving. I haven't driven a car for over 3 weeks now, and I don't know if I can remember how to. But, you know, I'm a road comic, so I was driving a lot, doing a lot of motorways, a lot of service stations, a lot of late-night road closures, all that. Don't miss any of that. I miss doing the shows because they're great fun. And I miss the green rooms with the other comics, which was probably my favourite thing about doing live gigs. That was number one. And actually doing the show was my second favourite thing. So I missed that. But I've been, you know, trying to keep myself busy and coming up with other things I can do in this situation that is sort of a bit similar.
We'll talk about some of those in a minute, but you mentioned, I think, that you do, you're kind of a tutor, you know, that's how you described it, for want of a better term. And those folks that you're kind of, and you have, I think it's fair to say, sort of nurtured and supported a number of local comedians, which I think, you know, you should get a badge for that at least, I think. But are you giving them support virtually? Are you kind of in touch with those people still?
The course that I run, my course, which is standupcourses.com, plug, was between courses anyway. That doesn't run constantly. It runs for a couple of months, and then I have like a month off, and then it runs again for another couple of months. So there was one planned to start at the end of April, and it had sold, it hadn't sold out, but it had sold reasonably well. So I've had to email everyone who'd signed up and say, look, it's not going to happen, mainly because the pub that lets us have the room, they're closed. Everyone who's got back in touch have said, oh, can we just postpone it and we'll come on the next one, which is great. So, you know, when this is all over, that'll all start up again. Although I've done one-on-one training via Skype and things for comics before, what I like doing is having a group of people, because the group dynamics and the support network, I think, is incredibly important for people starting out doing comedy, particularly when they are absolute beginners. Having some people around you who are in the same boat, I think, is incredibly useful. And people tend to sort of spur each other on.
So let's talk about one of the things that I think is sort of very popular online, and has, I guess, been sort of diverted online. And this is an extension of Games with James, and it's something called Board Game Smackdown. So tell us about that.
Board Game Smackdown is a show that I've done at the Edinburgh Festival every year since 2016, and it's a panel show where comedians play board games. card games, party games, that sort of thing, live on stage. And it's very silly, a lot of fun show. It's kind of sort of improvised. It's kind of fun for all the family. It's not a kid's show, but it's there's no big swears and there's no filth. So it's like, the great thing about in Edinburgh is that sort of families with kids who were too old for kids' shows, they could all come to it and it was fine. Every year at the Fringe, I'd taken it back and we'd always been able to go into a bigger room than the year before. So last year, we were in a 150-seater every day and we mostly filled it for the whole run. But obviously, the Edinburgh Fringe is not happening this year because of, you know, things. And so what I've been doing is I've been doing it online. Board Game Smackdown is a live streamed show where comedians, I don't know the terminology because I'm just learning about this. So the comedians log on from their houses.
I think that'll do it for me, yeah.
Yeah, through their webcams. And then I'm there as well. And then we sort of play some games. And I'm putting the shows out live on Tuesdays and Fridays at 6 p.m. at BoardGameSmackdown.com or search on YouTube for Board Game Smackdown. And then obviously once they're done, they're on the internet forever. You say it's kind of successful, and it is in terms of if the number of views equated to an audience member for the live show, they would be the most successful live shows we'd ever done. But in terms of the internet, we're not Gangnam Style yet.
What sort of games do you play? Give me some examples of the kind of things that you take on.
Okay, so we've been playing a lot of sort of the new breed of board games. We're going to put some classic ones in there as well. I've got Scattergories and Boulder Dash, which are loads of fun. There's sort of party games like that. We've played The Resistance, which is a good game about sort of social deduction and spies and lying. And we played a game called Forbidden Island, which is a sort of cooperative game with an actual board. So we had like a camera on the board so that you could watch what was going on. All right, we've played The Insider, Destination X, Snake Oil, Yogi. I mean, if these names don't mean anything to you, don't worry. These are all commercially available board games. I'm looking at ways to do Camel Up. Oh, and the Jaws board game as well. We've played that.
So are games a bit of an obsession of yours? Is this something you've sort of grown up with and sort of thought, actually, there's a lot of potential here to draw people in terms of, I don't just mean, you know, building an audience, I mean, that's helpful, but I mean in terms of, there's a bit of nostalgia, I guess, isn't there, to some games?
I suppose to some of them. To be honest, the ones that we grew up playing, things like Monopoly and Scrabble and Cluedo, I tend to shy away from, so there's not much nostalgia there. It's more a nostalgia for a time when you could play games with physical pieces and not with a computer console. But they are, you know, because they are resurgent at the moment. There's a really interesting correlation between the sale of board games and the sale of vinyl albums, in that they both peaked in the late 70s, early 80s, then sort of fell off a cliff because of CDs and computer games. But in the last 10 years, both have been steadily rising again. This is Switch.
Tell us a little bit about kind of things that you... We mentioned some of the things in the lockdown that you've been doing or haven't been doing. Is there anything that you've learnt from the last sort of couple of weeks about yourself or about your kind of craft, do you think?
What have I learned? Well, what I think I've learned, the thing that I already knew and wasn't doing anything about, and it's something I think any comedian who's got any sort of nous has known this for 15 years, and that is that club gigs are not the only way to be comedians, right? You don't just have to get a solid 20-minute set and drive around saying it to strangers. That is not the only way to be a comedian. Now, we all know this, but because the circuit has existed and provided us with a living that we have got onto, a lot of us are quite lazy and have just thought, well, that'll do. I'll just keep doing the club gigs. Now the club gigs have gone. What we've had to learn is go, oh, you know that thing you already knew? Well, you're going to have to do something about it now. There's an old video of the American comedian Patton Oswalt doing a talk to an audience of comedians in about, I don't know, 2006? I don't know, a long time ago, where he holds up his iPhone and says, this is more technology than Orson Welles had when he made Citizen Kane. It's taken this crisis to basically make me go, oh yeah, I could just do that. And I have been.
So, James, if there are people listening who, hopefully there are people listening, but where can they go to find out more things about you and your sort of path to this kind of work?
The best thing to do, look, if you want to watch a silly live stream panel show where comedians play board games and muck about and have a laugh that are around about 50 to 70 minutes long, look, search for Board Game Smackdown on YouTube or go to boardgamesmackdown.com. If you want to find out about me, you can go to jamescookcomedian.com and find out things about me from about 3 years ago, because that was the last time I updated that website.
We will check out all of those things that you've mentioned, but until we get a chance to do that, James, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us.
Not a problem, James. It's lovely to talk to you.
You take care of yourself, and we'll speak again soon.
All right, mate. All the best.